and welcome back to the Pitching In NPL show. And well, we're not yet back at the Heat and Hops, but I'm pleased to say that we're once again previewing a brand new season of the Pitching In Northern Premier League, Premier Division, and we're surrounded by some dear friends. And down the other end of the line here, a virtual Heat and Hops, T-Gots here, everyone. Welcome back, James.
I thank God for that.
That's right, he's back, everyone. James Gordon's here from the Northern Premier League doing all the media stuff. Hello, James, how are you?
Hello, I'm fine. Must be serious if I'm on.
That's right. One show and then he's done, everyone. We won't see him then till April, but only if Warrington are in contention. And also here, non-league reporter from Cheshire, the journalistic legend that is Mr. Andrew Simpson. Hello, Simo.
I get a loads better intro than the other two. They'll be fuming about that.
I was building up.
Hello.
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 Right, so we've got a lot to fit in. We should say later in the show, because we are very west of the Pennine-centric on the NPL show. It's often been said. So we're just going to the furthest reaches. We're going to go, no, that's a bit too far. So we're going to be joined by Mark Carruthers later to talk about South Shields and Morpeth. And we've got Andrew Snaith joining us too to talk about Whitby and Scarborough. But as we're all here, looking forward to a brand new season, gentlemen. Let's start with Simo.
Yes. Yes, I am. I'm really looking forward to a new season. I think one of the reasons for that is I'm genuinely optimistic we're going to get a complete season. And it's been interesting reading lots of the other previews and people getting excited in a step five, step six, step seven. But there's been lots of changes in those divisions. So they're all kind of getting excited about playing new teams and going to new places. We don't have the luxury of that. But I do think there's loads of reasons to be excited, to be optimistic, like I say, because I think we're going to get a complete season. That means we're going to get promotion and relegation, which is great. And bring it on. And also, hopefully, you know, seeing lots of people back watching non-league football, which I think is probably the most important thing that we're going to talk about tonight. And hopefully, we'll see in the next few weeks lots of people returning and hopefully new people coming to have a little nosy at the great thing that we call the Northern Premier League.
Now, James Gordon, plenty of excitement for this opening weekend. But, you know, as you're the one who does all the news stories on the website and that, the excitement started pretty much April. New signings for the new season. It was building nicely, hasn't it, across all the clubs. Everyone's been getting excited and plenty of rebuilding going on and strengthening to squads and that kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, yeah, certainly some clubs got started a lot earlier than others. And I think that it's going to be interesting. That's actually going to be one of the interesting things is that there's some clubs have almost built entirely new squads, you know, because clearly they've not played for probably the best part of the year, some of them in the league, whereas, you know, some clubs have basically kept faith with the squads that they had last season and maybe added a couple of players into them. Because, of course, last season, clubs had built teams that they thought would do well and they only got to play 6-7 games. And, you know, fast forward a year, they still think that the teams that they built could do well. So, you know, why wouldn't you try and stick at it? So, you know, yeah, it's interesting. I'm hoping for a full season. This is my fourth season with the Northern Premier League. I've not actually done a full season yet because I actually only joined at the start of September in my first season. So, obviously, I didn't quite get the full season in my first year. And, of course, the two since have gone for a Burton. So, it's all my fault, Ben. Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
I know. I thought Mark and Andrew were cleverer than this. I thought, if it's that obvious. but James Hayes, obviously, on Twitter, it's not just about the Premier Division. We've been doing the welcome to step four to a lot of clubs over four shows at the back end of May and the last week or so. Plenty of excitement across the board, isn't there, on social media and stuff for the new season on Saturday?
Well, yeah, you can already see the excitement across all four divisions, especially with the teams that have come into the league. Let's not mention as well, we were saying about the teams that step three keeping a lot of the squads. There's been quite a lot of players that have gone from step three to step four this season. Looks like Austin United getting James Walsher, Yorkshire Amateurs have just joined the league, getting Peter Cruz from the Eastman League, fancying to go in the Northern Premier League with Histon, Cambridge, Solihull. So it's going to be an interesting season, particularly with going so far down south in terms of quality. We are going to see a lot more flexibility across the divisions. Again, reorganisations, flip divisions quite a lot as well. So you are going to see a lot of contenders, especially at step four, completely new opportunities there. So we are going to see a lot of shaking up tables compared to in the past.
Yeah, and a big thank you to all those managers who were managing clubs out of the Isthmian League and the Southern League for putting up with my accent last week. I know it was tricky for a few of you, but thank you. It was good catching up anyway. A lot of excitement at step four. But this show this week is primarily about the Northern Premier League, Premier Division. And speaking about, you know, the runners and riders, Simo, is it a bit obvious to start with South Shields, or is that where we have to start?
Are you throwing me the Berkey ball to say what he would have said if he was there? I think, obviously, they start as overwhelming favourites. Since we last were together, they've now completed this transition to become a full-time team, makes them the only professional team operating in this division. That should give them a significant advantage for obvious reasons, more time on the training pitch. We're not able to quite see yet how the dynamic's going to work with Graham Fenton going alone. So that that'd be quite interesting to observe. Obviously, Lee Picton's kind of moved, he's still at South Shields, but has moved upstairs. They have lost a couple of players as a result, probably, of this move to professional status. And I think there's probably still a couple of gaps that they want to fill in their squad. So they're not quite maybe where they would like to be. But I think, you know, at the risk of stating the bleeding obvious, it would be a major shock.
There we go. Right, so let's talk a bit more about the two clubs up in the northeast. Obviously, that's way beyond our patch. So on Wednesday, I caught up with non-league journalist from the northeast of England. It's a welcome back to the show to Mark Carruthers to talk about Morpeth Town and South Shields. Well, Mark, a big welcome back and a big happy new season to you. Let's start off talking about Morpeth Town. What do you think for Morpeth this season? Stephen Turnbull's been there a bit longer now. So what's your assessment on their chances?
Well, he's been there a bit longer, but still hasn't seen out a full season because of circumstances, obviously, that we've had over the last 2 years. But it's been an interesting summer. I don't mind admitting that I thought there'd be a bit more transfer business. I thought they might bring in a few more. I think at the latest count, they've brought in three. They've literally just announced, before we started recording, the signing of Ben Ramsey, who was a young, well, versatile, probably more left-back, but can play in a number of positions. Someone that's been on trial at Gateshead, at Sunderland, and Stoke as well, I believe. So has promise. At the other end of the careers, they brought in Ryan Donaldson, of course, who helped Hartlepool back into the Football League. He signed a long-term deal, kind of similar to the one that Lee Noble signed when he joined Morpeth just over a year ago. So he brings real quality. And then Callum Morris, who spent the last 9 years playing up in Scotland, in the top two tiers in Scotland. So they've kind of gone for quality rather than quantity. But when you look at Morpeth's squad, I think people up here would probably think they were a bit light. But when you actually go through what they've got, Stephen Turnbull's got a lot of big decisions to make this season. And I think that's going to be the true test of him, really. You know, will it be horses for courses, to throw in a cliche, or will he find a strongest 11 and kind of stick with that? It's going to be a different season. The problem they have at the moment, they are getting a 3G pitch laid. So their opening day fixture at home to Stafford is now away. So their first week of the season is, I think it's Stafford away, FC United away, and someone else away, I can't remember, possibly Stalybridge away.
Well done, Mark. It is Stalybridge. Well done. Week Saturday, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that's a really tough first week of the season. Then, you know, hopefully the pitch will be down and they can start getting rid of home games. They are always strong at home. And I think Morpeth this year, I think, will challenge the playoffs. As I say, the pressure is on the coaching team to get team selection right week in, week out with such a strong squad to select from. So it's an interesting one to watch, but keep an eye on Donaldson because he is a real class act as well.
And that then takes us to South Shields. And the last post recently I saw from South Shields, they were as a virtual tour of the new stand that's currently under construction there at Mariners Park. I mean, off the pitch, it's been developing quite nicely. On the pitch, we'll wait and see. But hopes are high this season for Graham Fenton's side. Too high, or are they able to manage it, do you feel?
I think there's been lessons learned over the last few years. You know, you look back sort of 2-3 years to that Warrington defeat in the playoff semi-final, I think it was, or final before the super final or whatever that carry-on was. I think there were lessons learned that day. And you look at the performances in the season that was, let's get this right, the season that was declared null and void. there were, I think we can say with clarity, going to win the league that year. I think there were, was it 12 points clear with seven games left, something along those lines. We look at last year, it was a slightly slow start for them. I think, you know, they would admit that themselves, and they lost a few games that they'll feel they should have won. But they were there or thereabouts. I look this year, we shouldn't forget they have gone full-time, which by no means is a guarantee of success, but it does give them a slight edge, I think. Again, they are still a work in progress in terms of transfers. Connor T has come in, who was at Leicester City, was at Brackley Town last season, I think it was, and did quite well at Brackley. They've signed Natumba Musanka as well, who was at Chorley, and has just come back from a spell playing in Italy. So there's kind of, as I say, a work in progress there. They are looking to bring more in. I know they are, because Graham Fenton has said as recently as 10 days ago that probably needs another two or three. And he did get one of them. Another player who's just been released by Cardiff, a centre-back whose name completely escapes me, which is terrible, and I apologise. But he, you know, Fenton will try and keep strengthening that squad, I'm sure. You know, yes, they would like players in before the start of the season. But I look at the South Shields squad, I still think that they're possibly a striker light in terms of an out-and-out striker. The midfield will be as strong as ever. Robert Briggs has had a great pre-season. They just look strong right down the spine. I know they've lost voted for Straughton. It was a very highly rated centre-back or centre-midfielder. But they still look strong to me. Jack Bodden, that's who the defender is. Sorry, he's just come to my mind there. So he will replace for Straughton in a defensive side. You're asking if the expectations are too high. I'm not sure they are, you know. I think they will expect to, at very least, and I mean at very least, be in the playoffs. And I think they've got enough experience in there and enough promising youngsters as well coming through. They've got a very productive academy. I think they are rightly favourites to win the league. Do I think they'll have it their own way? Not by a long shot. But a big thing for them this year will be how they cope with that pressure, and because they are under pressure. You know, this is their, not through their own fault, obviously, but this is going to be their fourth year in this division now. And I think the pressure is there to try and get over the line and get in that National League North.
And we'll see, won't we, from this opening fortnight of the season, because it's by no means the hardest it could have been, but it's a bit tricky, a bit banana skinny with regards to, you know, Mickle overcoming in the opening game, but then they've got away trips to Stalybridge and to Witton Albion. Then they've got FC United coming, haven't they, a week Tuesday. So we'll know a bit more, won't we, after this fortnight?
Well, I think if we expand that a bit and see, you know, they've got Grantham at home, so we don't know what they're going to offer this season with a new manager and kind of new look squad. Then they go to Scarborough on the last day of the month as well. So the first six games is going to be kind of a severe test of where they are and where they're at as a squad and what they're going to do this season. I must admit, I'm looking forward to seeing them against FC United, but they won't want to look beyond Mikulova, because we look at what Mikulova did last season in that sort of very shortened season we had. And they would, I think, they shocked everyone to a certain extent. So that's a great, in some ways, I think that might help South Shields, because they'll go into that first game knowing they've got to be at their best. It's not a game where you look at it and think, well, we can maybe play 75% here and still win the game. They've got to be right at it from day one. And you're right what you're saying. It's a tricky start of the season. It's a tricky first six games. But again, I think they'll know that they'll have to be at their best in all six of those games to get what they want out of them.
Well, certainly someone who'll be at their best, not just in August, but all the way through, right through to middle of May, will be Mark Carruthers, non-league journalist from the northeast of England. Mark, what have you got coming up over the next fortnight and beyond? How can people keep in touch with all your work?
Well, I'm on Twitter at @MarkCarruthers_. Looking at the next fortnight is looking into the unknown, to be honest. It's here, there and everywhere. Saturday, I'm actually up at Blyth Spartans for their first National League North game of the season. Hopefully a rejuvenated Blyth Spartans after two, I think we can say, horrendous years would be probably an understatement, to be fair. But then into the what is going to be a very exciting, from a North East point of view, Northern Premier League East Division. On Tuesday night, I'll be at Dunstan UTS. They play Shildon, who are one of the newly promoted sides. We have five teams in that division now, so it's going to be one of the ones to watch, I think. I'm looking forward to seeing how Stockton, Heaven and Shildon get on. I will say now, I know we're not talking about them, but I think Musk will be my tip to win that league. I think it's got a very, very strong squad. that has been strengthened over the summer. And then beyond that, wherever the wind takes me, I think it is. I think it's FA Cup week after that again, isn't it? So it's been a busy start of the season, but it's exciting. It's good to be back. It's good to have fans back. And I must admit that the Premier Division to me looks a very good league this year again, and one that any team will do well to escape out the top end.
A big thank you to Matt Carruthers, non-league reporter from the North East, for joining us this week. So that's South Shields and Morpeth. Let's go over the Pennines now and do this a bit alphabetical for a while. And let's start off this bit of the show talking about Ashton United. Michael Clegg's had a bit longer at the helm now. I mean, what's your hope for what Ashton United can achieve this season, Teagot?
Well, the Cambridge Joes is a team that they have from the end of last season with one or two additions. I mean, Harry Spratt moving across from Scarborough in the last couple of days has been a big, big one, I think, there. It's going to make a huge impression. He knows the area quite well. I think he's played under Cleggy once or twice. I know he's very well known from Hyde United as well. They were doing a fairly decent job in the 10 games that they played last year. I mean, obviously, they had a massive hit with the fact that the 4G got delayed because of everything that's happened. This year, I can see being a little bit more of a threat than they have been in the past. I mean, obviously, we're saying a second about South Shields. Even though they were the team to watch last year, Micklover won the league, effectively.
Is that what we're going with, James? We're saying Micklover won the league last year. Is that what we're saying?
They were leading the league after 10 games, so you've got to keep that in mind at the same time. Because, again, who'd have thought they'd have been on top of that point anyway? Let's be fair. But, again, I can see Ashton being a little more of a threat, especially about the kept hold of Greg Hartley as well.
Well, Simo, they're playing Matlock this weekend, and Paul Phillips has made some good signings, I'm going to suggest, over the close season. So this is an interesting one to see. Would you imagine these two are going to be neck and neck, there or thereabouts in the league table, wherever that may be?
No, I expect Matlock to be quite far ahead of Ashton this season. Paul Phillips has quietly been going about his business. James Gordon made a really good point early on about some managers had kind of done a lot of their work last season and are kind of stuck with what they've built. And I think Philo comes into that. Obviously, he still has made a couple of really tidy additions as well. Matlock really like the work that he's doing because he's rewarded him with a contract. And they tend not to put their managers on contract at Matlock. So they're obviously kind of high hopes for what he can achieve. For Northern Premier League nostalgia fans, Ross Hanna is looking the part and will be one to keep an eye on. And that's nice for them because obviously Adam Yates has retired now. He obviously has been a stalwart at Matlock for so long. They were going to be points per game champions, weren't they, Teagot, Matlock last season. So they had quite a good start to last season. I think not a lot of people are going to be talking about them. And obviously, probably going to get myself in trouble now. The noisy neighbours down the road will have a lot of attention on them. And I think Matlock can make the most of that, quite quietly go about their business. And I think they can be really optimistic of a good season.
Well, let's go now to the noisy neighbours down the road at Silverlands. I'm assuming that's who you meant. Good.
Yeah.
James Gordon, Buxton. Is this the season where both Buxton and Matlock are right up in the thick of it? Because, you know, Gary Haywood, if he gets a full season, it's quite exciting what's happening in Derbyshire.
Yeah, I mean, was it 6-1? There was a derby that was 6-1 a couple of seasons ago. I don't think we'll be seeing a 6-1. But I think what's interesting about probably the three teams that you've mentioned, if you think back to not last season, the season before, they all started pretty poorly to the point where they just weren't in contention whatsoever. They'd started that. And there's a few other clubs that fit into that category. You know, Gainsborough, possibly Scarborough as well, that because they started not great, they almost dropped off the radar, which then meant that which almost helps them now when you come back to this fresh season, because people have sort of not thinking about them as much, which might actually help. And I know clearly, obviously, Buxton with the money they spent last summer caught a bit of attention. But I do think, going back to the Aston and Matlock thing, that that'll probably benefit them. There's a few other clubs in that category. You know, as for Buxton, clearly, I think it actually might do Buxton and Matlock good if they're both up there, because it'll probably drive them on to both do better, you know, because if it gets to a point where they're both in the top half and they're both pushing for the playoffs, or they're both in the playoff places, that might just add a little bit of extra motivation for them.
Let's stick with Derbyshire, because James Hayes, Micklover have got South Shields this weekend. And we discussed it earlier with Mark about how, you know, that's a tricky game, that, for South Shields to start the campaign. Micklover as you described it before, champions of last season. I mean, what do you think is possible with John McGrath's side?
We've got players like Declan Bacon, who was one of the star players from last season, still playing with him there, a bit of experience in the Northern Premier League. John McGrath somehow has registered himself as well, so this shows the capability in that squad. They've got that nice mix there, but again, it's a youthful side this year, same as last season, so they brought a little bit more of young blood in. But at the same time, with the academy, they had a good number of players that they've started to bring through, and now they're getting the opportunity to come forward and show what they're made of. And they were a good little side. The big difference is obviously this year they're going to have the 4G pitch down, so it is going to take a bit of bedding down for them to get used to. We've seen it in the past with Hyde, we've seen it with Stanford, and it's not worked out for them straight away. It's going to take a couple of games for them to get into places. And it depends how quick they can adapt to that situation. Do I see him being up there again? Maybe, but depends on how they can start, really.
Here's the thing, James. No one would be surprised now, would they, about Mikulova? So they're contenders, aren't they, Simo? Because of what they've achieved in similar situations in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think, he's not here, but Berkey did make the point not so long ago about Mikulova now kind of in the next stage of their Northern Premier League history, where they've established themselves in the Premier Division. They kind of started off hoping to survive at step three. They kind of moved beyond that now. They were kind of mid-table for a little while, and now they're looking at kind of the next stage of their development, which is to be, you know, in the top half and knocking on the door of the playoffs. And for a club of their size, that's tremendous to be in that position. I think one of the biggest things for them was to keep hold of their best players. And Seagott's mentioned one or two, but for me, Mason Warren, their captain, one of the best midfielders in the league, and they've managed to keep hold of him. That would be reason for optimism. And we've seen in the past teams that have the 3G surface, although I think it's probably becoming less of a factor, they tend to have strong home records because they get more used to playing on it. That said, with more of those surfaces appearing, I'm not sure that advantage is as much as it used to be. But yes, I expect them to be in the top half.
James Gordon, before you mentioned about teams who are notoriously slow starters, and I thought you were going to get an early dig in there about FC United. Yeah, they are. I'll accept that. But what a game to kick the season off on Saturday. I'm looking forward to sharing that balcony with you. If we're allowed up due to COVID restrictions, I'll accept somewhere else in the ground if needs be. But Warrington against FC United. I'll cover off FC shortly, but what do you make of Warrington's chances? Because you're Warrington, you're automatically considered one of the runners and riders. So is that warranted this season?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a little bit of a fairly concern, not concern, but the budget at Warrington is probably lower down the table than maybe people think. And certainly they've managed to keep a lot of players from previous season, but then I've had a few players move on for various reasons. And, you know, probably plugging some of them gaps has maybe been a bit harder than they probably would have liked. But, you know, like I say, in terms of a first game, it's actually probably both a game that you want and also a game that you don't want, because, you know, you'd sort of quite like to get underway with something that's perhaps a little less profile, just in case things go wrong, because if it goes wrong, it goes wrong. But then, having said that, I think Warrington lost at home to Farsley, I think, in the year that Farsley won it and did all right that season. So the thing for me as well is, there's been some decent matches between Warrington and FC United in recent years. I actually took my partner came to the 4-all at FC United, actually. Good and game. That was the first game she's ever been to. And I had to say, it's not like this every week. You need to sit through three consecutive 0-0s in January freezing before she has she can start coming again.
No, you need to get her to be an FC United fan, because it is that good, because we're just here for a good time. I mean, I can see Simo is trying to ask me what I think is going to happen this season. I don't know. I've got no idea, Simo. Cedric Mayne is going to be
The main man.
Yeah, who's going to score the goals, Ben? That's what we want to know.
I think Cedric Mayne is going to be good.
Okay.
I'm just going to throw
I think
that
there's
out
a
there.
Few teams that have got that same problem, though. And, you know, I probably count Warrington are probably one of those as well, is that, you know, there's almost been a bit of a dearth of strikers, or certainly, well, not a dearth, but some of the more prolific ones in recent years are now getting a bit older. But then clearly, as we've seen with Tundy and other players, as soon as players start scoring goals at this level, they're very quickly snapped up by teams at higher levels. And we might see some surprise names maybe coming through this year and being top of the the scoring chance. That's why I think that's part of the reason Mikulova did well actually last season, is they had a decent trio of forwards who could find the back of the net.
You finally got them away from Bamber Bridge. Bradley Reynolds had a hand in that, being obviously playing them in the past, but you've got Wodica, one of the best wingers in the league.
It's almost like Reynolds listened to our squad of the season podcast a couple of years ago. We're just missing Paddy Lane on the left, aren't we? Regan Lennon will have to do, I suppose.
I think FC United will fancy giving it a tilt. I mean, you obviously know a lot better than us, Ben, but I genuinely think, because it suits FC United to be, if South Shields are heavy favourites, it sort of suits FC United to be that sort of team. It's like, well, no, actually, we fancy like upsetting the apple cart a little bit with these.
I think 7th, 8th is fine. I think as long as we have a good time, I think that's realistic. Anyway,
really, man.
What?
I think I've got another FC United question.
Oh, okay. You
know, lost two really, really important players in Luke Griffiths and Chris Doyle, and that would worry me looking in from the outside of how you replace.
I think we've replaced with an equally good defender already in Drew Baker.
Defensive answer, this.
No, but I think he's come from. Is it Oldham's Academy or Rochdale's Academy? He's come out of that academy anyway, one of them. And he reminds me of Tom Davis, who came out of the university system, played for FC United, and then has gone on to have a very good career in the Football League. And he's got that calmness about him. So I think we're all right defensively. The anchor midfield quarterback role, I don't know yet.
He's very difficult to replace a player of his class because there's so few people who've got those attributes at this level. But yeah, there's a few question marks over FC, I think.
Okay. Well, hopefully we'll answer them in the coming weeks.
I look forward to it.
Yeah. Let's answer some questions now for our Yorkshire Coast clubs. And Whitby Town and Scarborough Athletic kick off their campaigns this weekend. And big news at Scarborough with Jonathan Green taking over. So let's hear now the thoughts of Andrew Snaith from Coasting County Radio. And I caught up with Andrew on Wednesday. Well, Andrew, a big, big thank you for coming on the show. Let's start with Scarborough. It's obviously been very eventful off the pitch in recent months. Jonathan Greening's Scarborough now. What do you make of their preparations heading into the new season?
It's an interesting one, actually, Ben. Yeah, as you said, John O'Greening, with his biggest role so far in terms of management. Of course, we all know him as a player and what he achieved in doing that. He has done quite a bit of coaching. He works for I2I, who are like an independent coaching body. So he has got that knowledge. He seems to be centering it around bringing in young players. Although, as I say that, they have actually signed Simon Heslop, the ex-York midfielder, who's in his mid-30s. So they have brought in that experience to replace Neil Bishop, who left the club last season. So he's also brought in Ryan Whitley, goalkeeper I know well, seeing him on loan at Whitby Town from York City. He's still at York City, but he's now back on loan at Scarborough Athletic. Big, tall, young keeper, but he has got quite a bit about him, but I do think that he has quite a big future in the game. He may be young, but he does seem to be good with his decision making.
And what's your sense on what the target is for Scarborough? When Darren Kelly was there, it was always about, you know, building and see if we can get into the playoffs. What do you think now under Jonathan Greening?
Well, every Scarborough player and John O'Greening himself have told me they're going for promotion. That's their target. I think it will be tough for them in their first season under him, I have to say. But that is very much the target, Ben. They've still got Cartman up front scoring the goals, so they do have that quality. They've got Kieran Wellergy from Whitby, who had a big injury problem. He's been out almost a year, and he's back. Very versatile player, centre half, right back, up front when he needs to, and so they have got that. But I think a promotion challenge, I think that's maybe a little bit of a big ask, but we will see.
It is early days. I mean, we're recording this bit of the show on Wednesday, so we've not even kicked a ball yet. But Baysford United away for the first game for Scarborough, that's a bit of a baptism of fire, isn't it, really, if the truth be known?
That's exactly the footballing cliche I would have used, Ben, to be fair. You beat me to it. It it is exactly that for John O'Grady. It's a tough one down at Baysford, who I would expect to be in and around. So it will be very interesting to see how they do. It will be an acid test for them to see how they cope down there in Nottinghamshire. But I have Bisford in my top five for the coming season. So if Scarborough can go there, I'll flip it around the other way. If Scarborough can go there and get a result first up, then who knows?
Do you want me to use another cliche?
Please.
There's no easy games in this league, obviously. But Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, they've got Ashton United at home. And then they've got Warrington, haven't they? So we will know more, won't we? certainly. Let's talk about Whitby Town. What do we think?
Pretty minor changes, to be fair, Ben. They've only brought in three players over the summer. One of them a local lad, which has gone down well, as you'd expect, but there's always that clamour to get local lads into the side, albeit at Whitby with such a small population. That's very difficult. Sonny Ferguson, Sam, from Pickering Town, a couple of leagues below us. He comes in at right back. He can also play further forward on that side. And Nathan Dyer, former York City player, comes in as well. He's another one who's right back or right wing. It's looking a little bit like England's squad for the Euros, actually. Ben, we are full of right backs this year. Good reasoning behind it, though. Brad Mills is long-term injured. And Jamie Libel will start the season with a three-match suspension as he was sent off right at the end of last season. So they do need those right backs in to cover, it's been a fairly quiet, modest pre-season for Whitby in terms of players in. Priestley Griffiths has come in as well, ex-Blythe Spartans midfielder, just in that anchor role just in front of the defence, and that might also be to cover for Adam Gell, who's also got a suspension coming up and plays that position. So they've been quite conservative, I think, Ben. And speaking to Lee Bullock and Nathan Haslam, it's quite deliberate. So of course we've had the COVID situation, the pandemic, which is going to be interesting to see how that's affected clubs, whether clubs are across the board are going to be conservative in how they set up their teams and won't be just throwing cash around. But also, I think there's a lot of faith in the current squad. I don't think there's a feeling that there needs to be a huge amount of changes. Just in pre-season, somebody who stood out for Whitby, Jacob Hazel, and he scored some absolute crackers last couple of games. Whitby beating Darlington, which should stand out. Obviously, it was Darlington's first team. You know, it was a full-strength side last week. So that in itself is a surprise. But Hazel scoring a couple of screamers to win Whitby that game, Ben. But he's one to look
player.
Out for.
I think he's a good player, Jacob. He really is.
Ex-Frickley, ex-Scarborough. So that forward line, albeit there is only really three strikers at Whitby. There's Brad Fuse, to the ex-Middlesbrough forward, Hazel and a young lad who was at Hartlepool United, Marcus Giles. So it's just the three men for those strike positions. But if they do stay fit across the season, they might be dark horses. But I'm going to say nothing more than that. That's where I draw the line.
The season kicks off for Whitby at the Giant Axe against Lancaster City on Saturday. So, again, a bit like Scarborough, we'll know more. But going back to the Chris Hardy era, you never knew what you were going to get, really. I mean, sometimes Whitby would be brilliant and they'd be pushing towards the playoffs. Then they'd be dropping down to the lower half of the table. What are you expecting this year? What what you hope is different than what you expect, obviously.
Absolutely, head and heart. I'm dangerously optimistic, Ben, which is never good, is it? But I think Whitby fans can realistically expect a top half finish. And I mean, when the Axe came down on last season, Whitby were sitting seventh with an outside chance of a playoff spot. So I don't think, you know, being in and around the playoffs is unrealistic at all. I think they could be in that clutch of clubs, and there's always a load of them, that clutch of clubs that are in and around. They do have a chance, but I think they are very much dependent on keeping those key players, especially the strikers, fit, because it is a thin squad.
Well, there we go. Right, Coastal County Radio then. We've got the big season kickoff. Andrew, you're going to be busy for the next 10 months. Presenting that show every Saturday afternoon. What's coming up this weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, from 2 o'clock, 97.4 FM across the Scarborough Borough and online at coastandcountyradio.co.uk. We've got updates on Scarborough Athletics' trip to Basswood, of course, and also live uninterrupted commentary of Whitby Town's trip down to one of my favourite grounds, and not just for the name, the Giant Axe at Lancaster City. Liam Ryder providing the commentary for that one. Absolutely can't wait. 10 months of football. Bring it on.
Andrew Snaith there from Coastal County Radio speaking to me on Wednesday. Well, Whitby kick off their campaign away at Lancaster City, and Scarborough kick off their campaign away at Basford United. Two tough aways there for the Yorkshire Coast sides. James Gordon, come to you, because Basford United, they've got to be up there, haven't they? Steve Chettle still there. You know, they've still got the great players. They've still got the great backing in the boardroom. They should be contenders, shouldn't they, Basford this year?
Well, they're not going to have any problems in goal because they've got four goalkeepers, so that'll be fine. But I think Basford are a good example of, you know, last summer they built a team to win the league, and ultimately, you know, COVID brought that to an end. But they've largely stuck with those players again, and they've added two or three to that list as well. So clearly, you know, Chris Munro there, big ambitions for the club, and they've got the facilities ever growing there as well. So it's certainly not an easy place for anyone to go to. So Basford are one of them teams that can put a run of wins together that propels them up, you know, into contention, which I think is perhaps what some of the clubs that you mentioned, you know, Scarborough, a good example, they seem to draw a lot of games, not last season, the season before. And the thing is I think we could almost say that 10-11 teams could be in contention. I think that's good from a Northern Premier League point of view. I think it'll certainly take a few weeks for us to determine who are going to be the autorans and the main riders. Of course, Lancaster did well last season, but of course they've got a bit of off-field sort of, not turmoil as such, but sort of turmoil because the future of the chairman, you know, they've obviously lost Sam Ashton, obviously, but that's always a tough place to go as well. Lancaster, as you say. So I don't think we'll learn a great deal from the first weekend, but I think it's very cliche, isn't it? Everyone wants to start with a win.
I was going to say, Simo, about Lancaster, just the fact Mark Fell's there, it's nailed on. They're going to be surprising a few people, as they always
do. Yeah, he's done a tremendous job. We've talked many, many times on this show about what he inherited when he came in, and then to kind of, you know, the kind of progress they've made over the past 18 months or 2 years with him in charge. I think James makes a really good point. The fact that the chairman's come out and said that this will be his last season, he wants to stand down, but there isn't currently a succession plan in place, it would concern me, and it'd be really interesting to see how Mark Fell kind of protects the team from that, because there is now big question marks about what the future holds for Lancaster. It may well be that they find a successor and it's a nice smooth transition. I'm sure that's what they're hoping for, but obviously there will be doubts off the field. He has largely kept the group together, with the exception of Sam Ashton. He's obviously moved on this week, but they've got a goalkeeper in on loan from Bolton, so they'll have a bit of time there then to find out who's going to be kind of a long-term replacement. But all the familiar faces remain, you know, David Norris, Andy Teague, Niall Cowperthwaite, loads and loads of know-how. Paul Dawson, really good attacking midfielder.
And James, just heading down the M6 a bit, James Hayes, that is, just heading down the M6 a little bit to Bamba Bridge. Jamie Milligan, since he's coming at Bamba Bridge, I think he's performed above and beyond always. So, you know, with a full season, what can Bamba Bridge do?
It depends what they can do to replace Wadika, really. Because, again, he's been that crucial to him the last couple of seasons. There's obviously a lot of facts of Darry Force and Matt Dudley, who are good little keeping the defensive side. But it's, can they replace Wadika?
Thinking about Bamba Bridge in recent seasons, I always tend to think the players that stand out the most have tended to be loan players. Mm. You know, Sheldon Green was one that always impressed me when he was there on loan. And I think maybe that might be what tips them one way or the other. You know, if they can get some quality, because clearly there's plenty of clubs around them that they can get players from, you know, whether it be Preston or Fylde or Fleetwood or whoever. And I think maybe what'll swing it one way or the other for them is the quality of those sorts of players that they can bring in.
Bamba Bridge taking on Buxton then this weekend at Silverlands. Let's go to Simo. Because Simo, yes. Are you at this game? Are you going down to Northolme?
Yes, hopefully.
Oh,
yeah.
Goodness. What a start to the season then. Gainsborough Trinity against Witton Albion. Firstly, Simo, you are a professional. You've done your own work. I know this already. What do you think of Gainsborough's chances this season?
Gainsborough are probably one of the teams with the biggest question mark against them. They've changed their manager. So Tom Shaw has come in. First managerial job, had a really good career as a player, has come in as head coach. And one of the first things that he did after his appointment was to tell the entirety of last season's team they didn't have a future at Gainsborough. So he has started with a blank piece of paper and has been slowly building that group up over the summer. Couple of eye-catching additions. He's brought in Lewis Carr and Kyle Dixon from Baseford to give the team a little bit of know-how. And Neil Bishop from Scarborough's gone in there as well and will be doing a little bit of coaching alongside his playing duties. But around those three is a whole lot of inexperience and not a whole lot of know-how of playing at this level. And so it'll be really, really interesting to see how that beds down. Obviously, even if you're building a new team of 11 dudes that do know this level, they're going to need a little bit of time to get to know each other. Could be then the proverbial good time to go there for Witten. I don't know, but I think Gainsborough's ambitions will have changed enormously following the departure of Curtis Woodhouse. I think certainly in the short term, it won't be their ambition to get back into the National League North. It will be to very slowly build a young competitive team that firstly survives at this level and then quite kind of incrementally builds towards getting them back towards step two in the National League system. But I don't think that's going to be their aim in the short term. I think, you know, with so much change, by their own admission, a vastly reduced playing budget. Survival will be their first aim. And then, you know, if things go well, if they can push towards the middle of the table, I think that represents a good season for Gainsborough.
And James Gordon, let's go just up the road to Grantham. Carlton Palmer's come in there, which is eye-catching in itself, really, isn't it? What a name to have in charge at your club. Surely they're not going to be where they've been featuring the last couple of years with him in charge, surely.
I seen he reacted quite strongly, didn't he, to on Twitter or something this week about how lowly they're being tipped or ranked. And that might be a combination of a few things. Like you said, they've struggled in recent seasons. It might just be that people haven't perhaps got to grips with their recruitment. There's a few teams in there, it's question marks, that they may turn into being surprise packages, but then at the same time, they might end up sort of languishing in the lower reaches of the table. I think the good thing about the league is, yeah, it's the third consecutive season with the same teams in it, but actually we seem to have a bigger spread of teams who you feel like could be competing for the playoffs rather than us sitting here thinking, oh, we know it's going to be the same four or five every year. It's always an interesting one, isn't it, when clubs get sort of names, if you like, in. And, you know, Carlton Palmer's a pretty significant name to have as manager of your team at this level. It's always, it can go one or two ways, can't it, sometimes? Can they attract better players or more players? But then sometimes, is the level perhaps not quite what they're used to, and maybe what they demand of the players is slightly different to what they're used to from when they played.
Simo, what do you think of Witten this season and their chances?
It feels an awful long time ago that they were sat pretty in the playoffs after a really good start to last season. I was talking to Carl McCauley this week. I can't remember a more disrupted and kind of problematic pre-season than what Witten have had in the past few weeks for loads of different reasons, mainly injury. Three key players, Josh Wardle, James Foley and Billy Smart, have barely played a minute between them in pre-season. We're highly unlikely to see two of them on Saturday. Hopefully Josh Wardle will feature. So that's been a real problem. And obviously when you've got three of your best players not playing, Carl's not been able to select anything, what I would say, even close to his strongest team yet this summer. And when you're now days before the start of the season, and that's not great. They did lose two really important players. Chris Renshaw, the goalkeeper, who signed for Curzon Ashton. However, the return of Greg Hall has more than compensated for that from Nantwich. So they're feeling pretty secure defensively. And Steve McNulty is playing on for another season as well. So I think you kind of the solid foundation that we've grown used to from Witten remains. But there are, you know, variation on the theme. There are huge doubts about their goal scoring capability with Scott Backer's departure to stay the bridge. And I think it's fair to say he's not been replaced yet. And he was also a big part of the reason why they had this really encouraging start last year, bringing that kind of pace and unpredictability to the final third. There's not many people like him playing at this level, and to have lost him, they're finding it very, very difficult to replace him. So probably not quite as high in terms of the optimism as it could have been. And they've been hit by COVID as well, by the way. So that's been in the mix. They've lost a lad to COVID. So it's hard to say. They're nowhere near where they would like to be going into the first week of the season. That said, you would have enormous faith in Carl McCauley because of the body of work that he's got to get it right. But it wouldn't shock me if they had a little bit of a slow start whilst they get these people back from injury and whilst he tries to find the one or two missing pieces that he's currently got in the squad. And I think last point on them, and again it's just to reinforce something that James Gordon said earlier, that I think there'll be a bit of skillful use of the loan market at Witton, for partly to buy themselves a little bit of time, but also because it's served them brilliantly in the past and they've got this really good burgeoning relationship with Crewe, and they're hoping to kind of make the most of that. So there'll be one or two loan faces, I think, in the early stages of the season while they figure out where they're going to go.
Now, Teacott, come on then. Radcliffe.
I'm going to quote Berkey a little bit on this one. He reckons Radcliffe have got a strong chance this year. Practically a brand new squad. A lot of the players went on loan or went to go play in the Welsh League during the lockdowns. So they've not tend to have stopped as much as some of the other clubs. And they've got that experience. But at the same time, there's a lot of incoming players at this moment too. Bobby Grant, one of the main ones that I've come across there. It's going to be down to what happens in the first couple of games. Radcliffe have notoriously started off poor and just played poor throughout the season in the past. So we started well, challenging for the playoff spots in two seasons ago with not our strongest team we've had, just playing as it was. It's more down to how quick we can get off the mark.
Now, I've done this in a very weird order. I think you'll agree, dear listener. But I'm going to persevere and just keep going, zigzagging our way across the north of England. Stafford Rangers, they're taking on Morpeth this weekend, as we discussed about half an hour ago with Mark Carruthers.
I suppose the worry for Stafford, well, Stafford, of course, were effectively reprieved, weren't they? Because they were pretty odds-on favourites for relegation in the however many years ago it was that the season that was nearly done got chalked off. There's been a little bit of movement, but it remains to be seen. You never quite know sometimes, because sometimes clubs sit on like seven or eight players that maybe you've never heard of who actually turn into being absolute gems and all of a sudden fire them up the table. And I'm sure that's what the more optimistic Stafford fans are saying at the moment.
They've signed Tom Thomas, who we know a couple of seasons ago from Stourbridge, who used to be one of the top strikers for them. New management changed since last time. And you have opportunities to build his squad as well.
People will expect the same, so there's kind of no pressure. Matt Hill going in, first managerial job. I don't know how much he's going to play, probably not a lot, while he kind of learns the ropes. I mean, talking about goals, I mean, Jake Charles going back there is a really important signing for them. He went and played for Farsley in the National League North in the 1920 season after having a decent spell at Stafford, and he's now back there. So a player that I really, really liked first time around. So that might give you a little bit more hope that they'll be more competitive. But like I say, I think I would use the fact that everyone will expect them to be bottom again as a motivation, really.
Let's go to a game, a bit of a great Manchester derby this weekend. Hyde United against Atherton Colls. Berkey, your thoughts on... Oh, he's not here, is there? Anyone want to talk about Hyde United in Berkey's absence?
I have spoke to Berkey and asked him what he thinks.
Oh,
Hyde.
Right.
I'm not going to do a Berkey impression, though.
No, Derek Akora is here, everyone.
because he's not here to defend himself. Apart from the two 1-0 defeats they're going to have against Witton, This is how Berkey thinks. I mean, what Dave McGurk's done really well, obviously they've lost Paddy Lane to Fleetwood, and we should acknowledge that. You know, he's been fantastic for Hyde, thoroughly deserves a chance to show what he can do in the professional game. But obviously that's going to be a big blow for the Tigers. But they've largely kept together the rest of the team, which will be really encouraging. Obviously, they have a couple of people like Jordan Faglu who've come back from real long-term injury as well, which will hopefully kind of strengthen the ranks. Berkey basically summed it up as he thinks they'll score plenty of goals, but they might leak a few. And that's where we're going to find out where they'll end up settling, how much they kind of find that balance between the two. I mean, Liam Tong's still there, isn't he? Had a little spell elsewhere during lockdown, but he's still at Hyde. A lot of the familiar faces are still at Hyde. They'll probably be in that group of teams that will be around the middle and hoping to be one that kind of breaks forward. But I think if they do finish around the middle, that's a very solid, tidy season for them.
And James Gordon, they're taking on Atherton Coles this weekend. And Brad Cook's been slowly building something there. I do feel like the club's got a spring back in its step, hasn't it? Since Michael Clegg's gone, he's kind of hit the ground running, hasn't he? So,
well, I mean, I don't think they ever lost the spring in their step, really. Yeah. I think they're probably, we talked earlier on about Mikulov getting to that next level in sort of their Northern Premier League life, if you will. Well, Atherton Coles are still at the very start of their Northern Premier League life, don't forget. So for them, I would say that finishing outside the relegation places, everyone will be saying we're aiming for the top half. But I think if they can consolidate themselves in the Premier Division for a couple of seasons, that's what they'll aim to do. I think they've brought in a few players from other clubs that have got a bit of experience. They're probably the sort of players that maybe at high level clubs wouldn't be contract players. But I think, like you say, I think there's a few teams that are sort of, you can see what the managers are trying to do. And I think Coles are probably one of those. And of course, it's quite a difficult place to go. I think Coles are one of them teams that actually their home form will probably be what determines where they finish.
We're right at the end of the show, Neil. And you've come up with the best cliche so far of it's a difficult place to go. You're the first one to use it on this series.
There we go.
Well done. Right, there's only two teams left, everyone. And I've done this deliberately. I'm going to come to Simo for Nantwich. But first, James, just down the road, Stalybridge Celtic.
I think Stalybridge are going to be the dark horses from this year. There's the other cliche we've not used so far.
Oh, everyone, jump on board. Dark horses. I knew something.
On the fact, really, the quality of the signings that they've made. Obviously, bringing in Scott Bacot, who
Simo is not happy. Carry on.
The quality likes of Grant Shenton, Will Grady, O'Halloran. They've built a good little squad there. Does look capable of causing a big upset.
And finally, for this season preview of the Pitching In NPL Show Premier Division, Nantwich Town, Dave Cook, Simo, they're always there or thereabouts. Are they going to be there or thereabouts this year?
I think it'd be a lot more bullish about that now they've brought in Sean Miller, the former Crew Alex frontman, to kind of really strengthen their front line, because everything else pretty much remains intact. They stay very, very loyal to the group that he built last year, which obviously is constructed around his lad, Sean Cook, who's one of the ones who's going to be staying on. Their major loss was Greg Hall back to Witten, and they've gone for quite an inexperienced replacement in Cameron Terry, so it's going to be quite interesting to see how he settles in. And if he settles in well, then there really is optimism for Nantwich to be up there. It never really kind of got going for them last year, mainly because they had cup commitments. They were doing quite well in knockout competitions, certainly in the FA Trophy. They had a good run, if I remember rightly. So they didn't actually end up playing that many league games, but when I had a little look at kind of how the table was frozen in time, I was quite surprised at how far down they were. So they never really seemed to get up ahead of steam last season. I think they'll be expecting to do a lot better. I don't have them in the kind of maybe challenging for the title kind of group, but I would be amazed if they're not pegging their objectives at reaching the playoffs.
Well, there we go. And on that note, that's everyone covered. It's now time to pin our colours to the mast, as it were. We've not got Berkey or Swampies yet, but we could do that off air if anyone cares. And no one cares. But we'll come back to that come April time. James Hayes, are you able to give us a prediction? Or have I just got to ask Simo what he thinks and you two civil servants just stay quiet? Is that how this works? Or are you able?
I thought you were going to say, we'll let Simo pick his and we'll just agree with him.
Good point. Simo, I'm game. Right, Simo, go on.
Oh, then. That's shocking. Yeah. I do suspect the more interesting battle is going to be for who's going to finish behind South Shield. That said, I do think Morpeth and Buxton are the two best equipped maybe to push. I don't know how hard they'll be able to push them, but I do think Morpeth always seems to kind of, they don't get talked about as much because they're kind of down the road from South Shield. But the team that they've built and some of the signings that they've made, I mean, it'd be incredible to me if they're not close to the top this season. So kind of how many have used up already? I think South Shields will win the title, but then Morpeth and Buxton underneath. I think Baseford are going to go really well again. Such a settled side. And then I do think it's a free-for-all for the last spot. And you're going to get in there fighting for that. Warrington, Nantwich, definitely those two. Oh, as for who might kind of...
You're killing me here, Simo. Come on.
I just think... FC, I just don't... It depends how the replacements for these key players do. I think that's a big question mark. But I think they'll be in the top 10. They'll be in the top 10. Maybe in the top 8. But I do think that kind of... I think those teams, and then there's a gap for everybody else to fight it out, is my early prediction. And we'll see how wrong I am. Because this is the sector of the show which T-Got scribbles it down and reminds me. I mean, I've done some terrible, terrible predictions over the years. Said Ashton United were going to get promoted and they nearly got relegated. Going further back, I said Stourbridge are going to win the league and they nearly got relegated. So if I was a Basford Bucks and a Morpeth fan, I'd be absolutely livid at what I've just said, because it probably means you're in serious, serious trouble.
Right, we'll find out what Berkey and Swampy think. But James, do you concur with that assessment? I mean,
I think it's going to be 4 out of 22 to finish in the playoffs, to be honest.
Oh, Alan Alcock is back with us, everyone. Hello.
I think South Shields, you know, I think you'd have to probably, you'd have to be extremely brave or stupid to back against them winning the league. I think it's interesting what Simo says about Morpeth, because I keep talking about cancelled seasons, but Morpeth's points per game in the season before last was actually second best in the league.
Third. It was not point
on the last
one.
Game or something.
Not point not one. Whatever. Beat them. Just saying.
But obviously they I think they were something like, I don't know, they were however many points behind South Shields, but they had enough games in hand to be within a handful of points. So they've got something. Again, it's another cliche for you. It's a tough place to go. Morpeth, there you go. You like that one?
Two.
The pizza oven bar thing they have there is good.
Well, the thing is, James, I've never actually been to Morpeth. To FC United fans, it's like a fictional place. we've never actually been. Pizza oven. What's this? I mean,
it's to be honest, it feels a bit like a fictional place because it's a bit in the middle of nowhere, the ground, and it's surrounded by massive trees. You could be in like a different world. It almost feel like it's the only place in the world. But yeah, cracking pizza there, fresh wood fire oven pizza. Get on one of them when you go. I should do a special food episode, shouldn't I? I should review.
Everyone's gone now they're talking. We sitting here. This is now a football chat.
I might do that.
What about the catering?
maybe I can do my alternative Northern Premier League table and rank them on the food. But going back to the football, I think South Shields top, it's so difficult to pull out for, I think, for the playoffs, because I just think anyone can sort of go there. I expect Basford would probably be my early tip to win the playoffs. But I think Basford, Buxton, FC, Warrington, Morpeth are going to be up there. I mean, I feel like I could read out 10 teams. You know, Micklover's another one who I feel like on their day. Nantwich always seem to make the playoffs. So I don't think you can rule them out. I still think Scarborough and Whitby have both got it in them as well. We talked about Buxton and Matlock, but if I'm going to have to pick four, I'm going to go with Basford, Buxton, FC United, and I'll go Warrington.
I was going to say, you've got to go with Warrington.
Not forget the playoffs, because if we get another delayed season or it gets cancelled again, it's the top two that are going up on points per game. So finishing, getting second place is more important than ever this year because of them circumstances. So, but you've got about 7 or 8 teams, I reckon, there that could realistically put a strong fight in. If it comes down to score difference of the top 5 spots, I can see that more than ever this time.
Well, hope everyone's excited anyway for Saturday.
You're not going to ask us who's going to get relegated, are you? I don't like that bit.
Is Ben not going to do his predictions?
You definitely bottle it.
James, I've got to interview these managers every week. I'm not having them going, man, you've said this, that and the other. I'm not having it. Right? I'm not saying which manager that was an impression of, by the way. So that's the end of the show. I hope you've enjoyed the season preview. We're back underway now. So next week, we'll have a roundup of the results from Saturday and Tuesday. We'll have some post-match interviews with some managers, and we'll have our fixture preview chat. I think we'll get Thomas Feeney on the show next week as the debutante for the weekly fixture preview. And we're off and running. A big thank you to James Gordon for joining us. Big thank you to his namesake, James Hayes. And also a big thank you to Andrew Simpson. But we're going to go now. And wherever you're going this weekend to enjoy your Northern Premier League, make sure you have fun, but stay safe. Bye-bye.